Welcome into DGS on a Friday. Dave out today, a little bit of a holiday. He's supposed to be on vacation all week.
Yeah.
I guess he gets a consolation day when everything fell apart. Obviously, Phoebe got sick. She sounds like she's doing better. So,
good.
Welcome back to the real world, Phoebe. I know it's tough when you... Boy, anything like those things that knock you on your butt for a week or
all
whatever.
All I know is last spring, I had my first ever experience with like tonsillitis. And it was... the most painful thing. So the fact that she had like an abscess on her tonsils, I think it must be one of those, people talk about like kidney stones, which terrifies me because I've heard they're like as bad as childbirth or worse than childbirth. Tonsils are pretty bad. Tonsil stuff.
Tonsil stuff. Like just tonsil stuff.
Let's go.
Miscellaneous tonsil stuff.
Yeah. I hate tonsil stuff.
Good to be on a Friday. It's hot. We're in the middle of this hot stretch, which, again, isn't shocking, except that it's a little early this
year. Can I totally be a contrarian?
What?
I feel like it's not that bad yet. Because I was preparing for the heat dome, and I know it's a heat dome. And like, well, it's June. It shouldn't be this hot yet. No, I get that. But we're all preparing for the heat dome, and like, it's dangerous. And I think it's dangerous in Ohio, but I don't think it's dangerous here because, like, last night was pretty pleasant. There was a breeze.
Yeah, because the sun is down.
I know, but it's always hot when the sun's out.
It's not normally 95.
Yeah, that's
I guess.
True.
We're almost at July, though. It's late June.
Hey, listen, Dave Murray said yesterday, this is not normal.
Well,
I trust Dave Murray.
I'm a temperature truther. I think Dave Murray, where was he born? He doesn't even know about weather.
Oh, man.
Where was he born?
He's off today, but I guarantee you he just felt a chill and he was like, something's wrong.
And he's like, I need to see his birth certificate.
I need to see his birth certificate.
Everyone knows people from Rhode Island don't know about the weather.
The full form.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're, I don't know. Whatever. No, I'm sure it's hot. It is hot. Here's what's happening. I underplayed the cicadas. I thought, I was like, guys, it's not that big of a deal. It's nature. And the cicadas were so much worse than I thought they would be. The smell of death and urine of the cicadas.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you talking about?
I don't think they urinate.
No, they... they're the number one urinators on the planet.
You're forgetting about me.
No, but the urine, it smells so bad because our friends who lived in Ohio who had the broods a couple few years ago, they said it's the smell. The smell is worse than the sound. And we couldn't even sit outside for a week because it was just the decomposing bodies in the urine. So I underplayed the cicadas. So then I prepared myself for this heat dome. I think I overprepared for the heat dome because I think it's been kind of nice.
I'm a little bit on Amy's side just because I've been outside a lot lately and it hasn't been like horrible, horrible, horrible.
I mean,
but it's also hot. Like I don't begrudge anyone complaining about it being hot.
I don't really care about the opinion of like the two skinniest people I know. I'm built like a sea lion in the San Francisco Bay. I don't really want to hear about how it's really lovely when it's like
97 degrees. That's
with 100% humidity. It's like kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're a sweat factory like I am. 90 is not great.
But don't you think that you're cooler because you sweat?
I mean, I'm just cool in general.
I'm a sweater. I'm like super sweaty.
You would not think that I am cooler when I am sweating. That is what I'll tell you about the amount that I sweat in weather like this.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, that's where we are. Amy, you and Rach, you guys enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, have fun.
Hey, Rach, want to go hang out in the heat?
Just go outside.
For me, it just means like 3 bottles of sunscreen every weekend while I'm out coaching for 8
Rachel
hours on Saturday.
Are broadcasting outside just for kicks.
It's a beautiful day, everyone.
Y'all enjoy that.
The AC or something is not working in Rachel's office, and I went in there earlier, and it's like 90 degrees in there, and I was like, it's hot in here. Rachel's like, actually, it doesn't really bother me. I'm like,
it doesn't. I keep my AC.
How great.
My AC at home right now is at like 79.
What?
Yeah. Wow. But it feels cold. It feels fine. I have a small apartment, so it's like all the air just dumps into the room and it's fine. I got a fan going too. It's okay.
I mean, I have
fans make a huge difference.
I have a small apartment. I keep mine, at night, like 65, 66.
Ooh, it's working then.
And then during the day, I'll bump it up maybe to 70 when I'm gone.
Yeah. We're definitely in the pretty close to like 70 on a regular basis.
Yeah. Like
72 when it's nicer out and you don't have to feel the stark difference. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lower, maybe upper 60s at night for sleeping. It's kind of nice when it's cool when you're sleeping like that. But nah, I'm not doing. I mean, I'm out in the heat all the time, so I deal with it. I mean, it's not like something I don't shy away. I'm not somebody who's like, "Oh, I'm never leaving the house." It just you're noticing a difference.
I will say this might be because they, you know, age is just a number, and it pretty much is to a point. I feel young and all of that. However, two things. One, I definitely need more sleep than I did when I was 25. Like, I can't operate on 4 hours of sleep. I'm going to be
Nobody's
really
supposed to.
Yeah. And then two, I do appreciate the heat more than the cold. I used to always love winter running. And I still love winter. I just notice, like, it's a little bit harder for me to get motivated to get out there when it's cold because I'm just so cold versus the summer. I'm like, I can deal with the heat. I don't know. I think that's the only difference.
I've always hated the winter more. Always. Now,
you
winters
live in
here.
Detroit.
Yeah, I know. Winters here aren't that bad.
Yeah.
They're generally not that bad here compared to, I mean, I grew up in the Detroit area. Then I lived for 15, 16 years in Chicago also. So, yeah.
Did your super fancy high school have a ski slopes as well? Because
no.
It seemed to have everything else.
Yeah. The people don't get the joke. Now, when I went to the high school that I went to, the Detroit Catholic Central High School, when I went there, we were in a building that was a retired public junior high. So it was meant for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. We didn't have a football field, the real one. We had like a practice field, but we didn't have one. It was full of like holes and stuff. It wasn't like you couldn't play games there.
Yeah.
We did not have a field where we could play baseball games, you know, for the varsity level. We had to go somewhere else to play. We had, you know, like a junior, again, it was a junior high. It was a retired.
So what
so
happened?
So now it's basically a college campus.
Yes.
They moved about 40 minutes further north and west into a different suburb. So they were closer to the city. Now they're further out. And they built this brand new facility probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, 17 years ago. The point that I'm getting to, this is where you're making the reference, is they've now built a STEM center, a science center, and they have a retired Blue Angels jet in the lobby.
In the lobby.
And a flight simulator and all. I don't know what happened. I mean, apparently some really rich people died and left my high school. Because it went from like, yes, it was a private school, but it was like working class Catholic school. It wasn't. And now it's like a university.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. It's great.
But you've showed us pictures. It does look like a university.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Beautiful. It's a beautiful campus. The athletic facilities are like elite.
Was it nicer than Lewis and Clark College?
I don't know that I've been there.
Because they have an alien.
Yeah.
Now, what? Here's what I need.
You have an alien.
I think that was when Wheels was gone.
He wasn't here.
Oh, I can't believe that.
We had an alien. Well, maybe. I think we did.
You mean someone that came to the country illegally?
No, well,
or
yes.
Or you mean
but
like some space?
No, space like from alien. Space, like a space guy.
What?
Like a spaceman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't
exist?
It like a
It was
a
like
replica.
A replica of the spaceman.
No, but he's in a case at Lewis and Clark College, and he's like, I think we had an alien, a
I
real
think it
alien.
Was in the nursing building.
And he was like adamant that this was the real alien, and we're like, well, this is
from
kind
Roswell
of a big deal.
Roswell or something?
Well, it was like it was a replica of the alien, and I always
the Roswell
alien. Yeah, and I had always said that it was a replica.
No,
why was that at a college?
I don't know.
That's kinda,
yeah, and
I mean, it's kind of cool. But
I also
weird.
Went there, and I have no memory of this.
Okay. But I never mentioned it to you, and you would have never gone into the nursing building. I only ever
Why
went
did
there.
Did you go into the nursing building?
Because my mother was doing continuing education on her X-ray technician work once when I was a boy, and I attended with her.
Okay.
And she
I just
said,
feel like I would have heard about it around campus. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it was there when we were in college. Because I never went and checked it out because I just forgot. I had other things on my mind. And so I didn't make it over to the nursing building.
Wait, is there a nursing building separate from the math and science building?
No, I think it's the same.
Okay. I spent a lot of time in there and I never
saw
it.
But there's like a nursing
alien.
Department.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It there's was like a like part 45 of the building. Minutes That's... before he said replica. I swear.
She's
wrong. She's lying.
I need confirmation.
She's lying.
Because we were like Googling it. I'm like, if Lewis and Clark College has an actual alien in a case, I feel like we would know about it. And Rachel's
I went there.
I
know if they had a fake one.
There.
I went. I never saw it. I'm not saying that Andrew is like, look, I could be totally off base. I could have just never come in contact with this thing, but I can't back him up is all I'm saying. I'd love to, but I can't.
Andrew, how's life out there on your own?
I keep forgetting. I keep meaning to go there because I don't.
Yeah, you should go and take a pic.
It's not far from where I live, and I keep meaning to go there and look for it. But I keep forgetting to do that because
who has time to see an alien?
Well, a replica. I mean, we've all seen the replica.
So it's like a little green man in a little display case.
He's a little yellow man in a display case.
But he looks like an alien.
Is it supposed to be the case for trophies and you had nothing else to put there?
That's rude. it was very rude.
Wow.
It was like in my memory, it was like built into the wall.
Hmm.
And it was a little window, and then inside the window was a little yellow man. A little alien type fella.
Again, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I just wonder why they would put that in the nursing building of all places.
I also wonder that. I wonder that too. I didn't think much of it at the time as I was a boy.
Yeah, you're just little and you're like, oh, there's the alien.
There's the alien.
Obviously.
Just little. I was 19 years old. I'm just a little boy.
No, not in college. This is when I went with my mother when I was, I don't remember how old I was. Not that old.
Oh, okay.
I was, or not that young, rather. I was
that
probably
makes a
like 12.
More sense.
11 or 12.
And now it makes it, though, that it's no way this thing actually existed.
Things didn't, no, yes, there is. No, things just, I'm learning this as I get older. Things kind of just bounced off me that wouldn't bounce off of other people, I guess.
Well, apparently bounced off Rachel because she doesn't
never saw it.
Everybody's always like, I would remember that my whole life. And I was like, oh, I just kind of, I don't know. The truth's out there, I suppose.
Andrew wants to believe.
Friday on TGS, as we mentioned, Dave getting the consolation day off after the week vacation was put on hold for a later date. But Rachel's here, Andrew's here, I'm here, Amy's here. Ranji has the scoots, so he's not here. So we're just hanging out. Hey, I really enjoyed it. I don't know. We talked about it a little off the air, but Amy, I enjoyed your guys' conversations about the game at Rickwood last night. First Cardinals win, so that's great. Mm-hmm. But more than that, and way more importantly than that, it was a great celebration of Willie Mays, of the great Negro League players that had gone through there. I really enjoyed Clabe's conversation on that. And it's not that often. This is, to me, the coolest thing about an event like that last night. It's not that often that in the middle of a really busy season where we're all focused on, we got to get a win, you get an event like that. Yeah. Where it is bigger than a game. And I know that's stupid and cliche way to say it, but it's important to know your history and it's important to recognize people that were contributors. And I thought that was just really almost perfectly done last night.
Yeah. Like I think I had said this before. I don't know what I was expecting. I knew it would be special. I didn't expect to be moved quite so much. The entire evening was incredibly moving. And when you think about the racism, the hate, the prejudice that so many of these players faced, what it was like to be a black player at that time being like decades, not just the 1940s, Robinson, I mean, 50s, 60s, 70s, being a black American at that time. And so often we hear the phrase when athletes get political, you know, stick to sports. Sports has never only been about sports. When you look at the civil rights movement, you could argue that in that era, baseball helped change the trajectory of American culture because those players, the black players at that time, whether they were playing in the Negro Leagues to the first black players in Major League Baseball, They were not just playing baseball. They were quite literally changing the culture. They were helping to change the hearts of people who were otherwise prejudiced. And they had to be the bigger person day in, day out when hate and racism was spewed at them. The character that these men showed during those times was really amazing. And to hear like Reggie Jackson, you know, talking about his experience. And he was way after Jackie Robinson.
I mean, he was 25 years after Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. And I think when my dad was a little boy following the Cardinals, the 64 Cardinals, David Halberstam's October 1964, one of the greatest books that uses baseball as a lens to view American culture at that time. My dad was a little boy cutting out clips, you know, in the newspaper of the Cardinals that Bob Gibson and Lou Brock couldn't eat with the team. In certain restaurants in certain cities that couldn't stay with the team. That makes no sense. It's so offensive and ridiculous to our sensibilities now. And I know that racism and prejudice still exists, but the fact that it was so open and legal.
It was the norm.
It was the law.
It was
in
the
places.
Norm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we do. I think the Cardinals do generally a really great job, not just about this particular issue, but celebrating important things in history, right? And it's a part of the reason why I think the Cardinals have had as much success as they've had in terms of building fan bases and having fan loyalty is because they celebrate history, right? Mm-hmm. They celebrate the history of everything. I do wish that we could do more, not just this kind of thing, but more of the recognition of maybe people that went by the wayside but still had a pretty big impact on the sport. You know, and again, this one in particular is extremely meaningful. The timing of it with Willie Mays passing away was a little weird. And by the way, somebody noted this on the broadcast last night. So 6-5, the final score. Yeah. Willie Mays was born on the 6th day of the 5th month. That was brought up on the broadcast last night. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, but it's the numbers are out of order. We don't do the day first and the month first in the United States. But I just thought it was an interesting note. Doesn't really mean anything, but interesting nonetheless. All right, so Rach, was it yesterday or the day before you brought up the Dear Abby thing? Yesterday. So I have a Dear Annie.
Okay.
It's a different person, I guess, that does that. It came up in my Twitter feed because I follow a newspaper, couple of newspapers, and this was just, I guess it's their knockoff brand version. Like, it's the store brand, Ask Dear Abby, it's Dear Annie. But I'm curious what the group thinks about the question that was posed. And I'm not going to read the whole letter because it's just too much. But here's the basic premise. The message is sent in by someone who calls themselves Feeling Neglected. So Feeling Neglected says, Dear Annie, just moved in with my boyfriend. We've been dating for 3 years. We just moved in together. Things have been great. My one issue is essentially that he spends way too much time with his friends, doesn't include me in any activities with his friends. And then when she brings it up to him, he basically just brushes it aside and says, well, you know, don't be so clingy. Which also, by the way, don't say that. Word of advice from a guy.
Find another way to say it, even if it's true.
Yeah. Because that right there, that's a sign that you're definitely not paying very much attention. Anyway, everybody has had some version of that transition in life, whether it's in high school, right, or college, or in adult life. Whenever you're starting something new, it does alter what you did before. So what do you make of someone that is in this position that's having a hard time with it? Because I think it's you're not in it till you're in it, right? If you've never done this kind of thing before, I joked earlier when I switched shows from working with Ron and Amy to, you know, the Glover show, is like going from my high school friends to college friends, but that I still get to see all my high school friends every day.
Whatever.
But,
college friends are better.
But the point is that there's always that kind of change when your situations change, when you move or when you go off to college or when you start dating. How does that question hit you guys individually? Like each of you, how does that hit you when you're in that, when you're looking at it that way?
Sorry, let me recap again. So she just moved in with her boyfriend.
Dating for 3 years.
Okay.
Just moved in together. She just said recently. It didn't say how much of a time frame. But that he spends a lot of time with his friends, several times a week. They go out. He goes out with his friends and does not include her with the friends. It's always separate.
Mm.
And I'm just curious how we see that. Because, again, there's some vagary here, right? Like, well, a few times a week. Well, two or three times a week when you're young doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Right. Mm.
It would be a little weirder if, for example, that was like 2, 3, 4 days a week and you were married for 10 years and had 3 kids. And, you know, like that would be a little bit more of a, hey, we need to work together on this. But I'm just curious what you guys think, because it is in an early stage. It is, I think, a very common thing that people have to figure out is how much of what we do is us, how much of what we do is just what we've always done, and how do you blend those things together?
Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, I understand how it would affect it a little bit, but how does her moving in or them moving in together affect how often he was hanging out with his friends?
That's a great question.
I'm wondering if it's just her expectations, like, oh, once we move in, we're just going to be this family unit now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, again, a fascinating thing, because I would say that that's probably an unrealistic expectation, but I understand that it is a step, right? And sometimes steps change patterns of behavior. So it sounds like, I'm not trying to diagnose this, because there's a lot we don't know, but I do think it's fascinating to be like, how did we all manage those kinds of changes and transitions? Mm-hmm. Because some people's worlds don't change that much 20 years later. Mm-hmm. If you like, I didn't end up living where I grew up, but I could easily see it where if I lived where I grew up and all of my high school friends were 15, 20 minutes away, I would have probably spent a lot of time with them in those years.
Maybe they're at an odd age in the sense that, is it all of the guys and the guys are also, in relationships, or all the guys single, right? And he's the first really, you know, have a committed relationship. I don't know. The 3 or 4 times a week, like, I don't see my family that much. That's a lot to hang out with your friends. Like, I don't see anyone that much.
The question doesn't specify a number. It just says several times a week.
Yeah, which was like at least 3.
Several could be, I would think of several as 3 if I were going to guess a number.
I will say for me, and this is totally different, and it's actually kind of dorky, but like with running, especially during COVID when we were all locked down and I had a very small bubble. So all I did was run. And I think too, when you're single, because being in a relationship takes an investment.
Relationship.
You have to invest in your friendships. You have to invest in your relationship with your significant other. When I was single, just me, no kids, like I ran a lot and I could focus on training. So that meant like I ate when I wanted. I went to bed early on Friday nights, right? You know, you wake up super early on Saturday, and my whole life could be focused on running, which again, people will say, get a life. Well, that's the one I chose. But now, now that like I'm in a relationship, even being in a relationship changed my running, because if I want to do what I did, that means we're not going out with friends on Friday nights. You know, I have to eat certain things because I want to focus on the run the next day. And it would really cut into relationship time. So it's like, what do I prioritize? Well, I'm prioritizing the relationship. So I'm not running as much. And again, it was insane. It was like twice a day. I'm not going to run twice a day because that's going to cut into family time. That's going to cut into the kids' games, things like that. So you do have to reprioritize. This guy sounds like he's playing or hanging out with his friends a lot.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if a lot of times when people move in together, it's a decision that they're making together. And that's great. A lot of other times it's like, hey, it would be cheaper if we lived together. And I'm wondering if that's kind of the situation here where she kind of thought, oh, this means that we're like about to get married at this point. And he's just thinking, all right, this is great. Now she's here all the time and we can split the expenses. I'll say this. If he, let's say they're hanging out twice a week, he's golfing on Sundays and watching football or watching baseball one other night of the week. I wouldn't want to be included in those activities, like with all the bros. Like, I'm like, you go do that.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be included in the shopping days.
Right.
I don't want to do
and
some
I don't
of those
want
things.
You there because
I don't want to go see Steel Magnolias. No, but more, I'm just teasing about the
Steel Magnolias.
The chick flicks.
We're going to talk about periods. Right. Steel Magnolias.
I'm teasing about that part, but I mean, I wouldn't want to invade that.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you know, there's a group of friends that are, they have a pattern and they do things, I wouldn't want to be like, here, I'm going to show up and be right in the middle of it all. Like, no, I would want. Now, again, if it's 5 days a week You're right. Like, okay, this guy doesn't, or this woman, they don't really care about this. Why are we doing this? But also, I asked this, I think it was about your Dear Abby question the other day. This, if you're in a serious place, this is something you could easily have a, like a normal conversation about, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of the, the hard part is, look, the hard part is, I think, taking what it seems like to you out of the equation, because you don't know it is what you think it is or what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Is that, am I saying that in a way that makes sense? Like, you might think it's him prioritizing them over you, but it may not be that to him. It may just simply be he never thought you cared because it never came up in a conversation, as opposed to you are making me unhappy and turning it into that. That's always going to get pushback. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the how we talk, and I also think it's, if you're getting the advice from somebody who writes for a newspaper, that's also probably not the way to go, which is why sometimes I think these are made up.
I think so, too, sometimes. Not to pierce the veil too much, but I think from time to time.
100%. They're all just whatever she thought of that morning of, like...
Well, it also could be... I could see it being, like, somebody you know asked you this, and, like, I'm going to pretend it's not somebody I know, and I'm going to put it in there. But, like, I think most things, whether it's friendships, family relationships, dating relationships, marriages, whatever, most things can be solved with normal conversations where you ask questions rather than assume that what you're feeling is what it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because I know, I just give myself as an example, because my dad is really big, and we're like best friends, so this is not like a knock. He's the best guy. But his thing is, he can just tell things. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he thinks he has a magical skill. Like, he can just gut reaction, be right about things and know them. But there are times he'll approach something, especially when I was younger. Not now. I mean, you know, he's older. I'm not a kid anymore. Like, but if I were when I was in college, he would just jump to an assumption as to why I did something. You're just doing this because you stayed out late. I'm like, no, I actually was up in the middle of the night throwing up, and you didn't like that kind of stupid reaction for no reason. But I think we all do that. To a degree.
Yeah, you create your own narrative, your own storyline. And then, especially if you're mad at something, I mean, I'll go on. And then they're thinking this is probably what they're saying right now. Can I just ask this, though? Not to harp on this guy who may be fake. Can you think of
his name is in quotes, Tom.
Tom, can you think of anybody in your life right now, much less like three friends, who could hang out with you three nights a week, week after week?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't. Okay, but Kevin. Okay, but, and this is, you know, you have a heart of a boy. But you are
heart of a boy.
You are in your early. You're an empty nester. You're
like
in your
awesome
early 50s.
No, that's true.
And we are all. You're right. We are all younger than that. So it is maybe once, you know, my friends' kids are all in their mid 20s and have moved out and stuff. They won't have time to hang out with.
Could
them.
Hang out with me 3 days a week. No, I think that's be it. Like, I have things to do. Find another friend.
That's kind of why I wanted to get into that, because it is a lot about what stage you're in. Like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I said, if you're a dad that has three kids and you're going out with your buddies 3 days
for
a week,
sure.
You are not doing what you need to be doing as a general. I'm not saying 100%,
but if you're 22,
because time is what kids need probably as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Not just parenting or money or rules, but they also need your time. And if you're gone 3 or 4 days, just doing guy stuff on the regular, not talking about going on guys trips or whatever, then that time is not there, right? And I think that's the same thing when you're talking about a new stage in a relationship, or I just mentioned with my dad. It's different now for us. We see things more peer-to-peer because we're not the same age, but I'm old enough now where I'm not a kid to him, right? Mm-hmm. Where when I was 22, I was a kid to him. And it was a different conversation. It is all about that. If I did that now, I don't think, like, if I were going to do what this guy, what Tom did, if I was going to do that at age 22, I probably would have been kind of a jerk. Why wouldn't I include, like, my favorite person in fun times?
Andrew?
At least occasionally. Well, Andrew wouldn't have been born then. Or he would have been either that, or he would have been a baby.
Would have been a little baby.
Could you imagine me, like 22-year-old me, with little baby Andrew?
Let's go watch some sports.
That'd be fun.
No!
That'd be Andrew, a good time. Look, it's an alien.
That'd be a good time.
Andrew,
Mm.
why are you mad at Europe?
I knew you were going to bring that one up because that's also the least interesting one on there. It's just every day there's a new study that's like, here's the city in Denmark that's the happiest city in the world. Or it's the happiest, Scandinavian peoples are the most happiest peoples of all. And it's like, I don't care.
It doesn't count with
it doesn't,
them.
Yeah, it doesn't count. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Stop telling me that.
Yeah, there's even like a maxim that says any bad idea will work for a little while in Sweden. Just because stuff works there. People are fine. It's a small country, a lot of cultural cohesion. Everyone just says, okay, let's make it work. And things kind of work for a while in Sweden.
Well, you're making me less happy. You're making St. Louis a less happy city when you tell me about how happy everybody is in Denmark.
Well,
because I don't care.
Doesn't matter to me. Right now, we are not number one.
Yeah, well,
maybe we're not as bad as
Andrew's
Granite
right
City.
He's sitting here proving it. I'm mad that other people are happy.
Yeah, maybe we'd be a little happier if I was happier and I didn't have to hear about stupid Denmark or
the
whatever.
Idea of ignorance is bliss. Is that what we're looking for? Like, if we didn't know other countries were happier, we would be happier.
Well, it's just like I look at it and I just think like, oh, what do you want me to do about it?
They don't want
anybody
to do
about it.
Why are you telling me?
I don't care.
Andrew's the only one who read the article about Denmark being happy. He rolls up in sleep and says, not if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah, well, what am I supposed to do about it? Okay, Denmark's super happy. Why are you telling me?
Well,
doesn't affect me.
First of all, I would agree that it would be very weird if they were only sending the story to you.
Attention, Andrew Scholes.
Why are they telling anyone? Why does anyone care?
Because maybe there are things everyone could learn about.
You know darn good and well that is not going to happen. Don't you dare say some optimistic crap that. You know that's not true.
Oh, we won't do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is the idea that, you know, humans can learn from one another and maybe not repeat exactly what's going on in another place because it might not work exactly like that here. But it doesn't mean that an idea in there doesn't work. There are countries all over the planet that have learned from us.
Can I counterpoint?
That have seen something that we do and go, you know, that might work in a different way in our little place.
Can I counterpoint?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, I don't think Better Homes and Gardens or whatever is bringing that kind of intellectual heat to the conversation. Second of all, they never tell you. Maybe. I don't know. This is something.
he's mad at an idea right now.
I think I saw it on Better Homes and Gardens.
I think I saw it on Reddit. Anyway.
I love Better Homes and Gardens. The UK version is so good.
But no, they never tell you. Whenever they have these studies or whatever, these surveys, I don't know how they calculate this data.
They ask people.
They never tell you what it is that makes them so happy. They just go like, they're sure happy over there.
We took the best thing.
Have to read past the first paragraph.
There's not more than the first paragraph.
Not on Reddit, but there's a link somewhere that's got a full story. Like, we asked them about why this is this. It was all based on polling.
Oh, well, Kevin knows everything, I guess.
Denmark is where Danishes come from, and everybody loves a good Danish.
I hate Danishes.
I love Danishes.
I hate Danishes.
I don't care for Danishes.
That's a lie.
It's 100% true. Don't care for them.
What?
Any kind of Danish? You can't just hate Danishes.
I don't care for them. They're too flaky.
Just the structure?
Yeah.
So are you.